started and let's do roll call.
Chair McMillan.
Here.
Vice Chair Reynolds.
Here.
Commissioner Hollingsworth.
Here.
Commissioner Hurd.
Here.
Commissioner Merrick.
Here.
Commissioner Mielke.
Here.
Commissioner Tustison is excused. Thank you.
Thank you, Chair McMillan. Well, here we are on March 9th, 2020. And first of all, the water utility staff would like to thank the time the commission spent reviewing the report. We got some excellent comments back, and you caught some things that we had missed. So we appreciate that, and we hope you've had a chance to look at the final draft. And we hope it's, you know, we caught everything. But just kind of going through the schedule here, you know, on February 10th, Danielle emailed the draft to the commission, and we received comments back on February 21st, and there's some emails back and forth and some discussions, but here we are March 9th for the final presentation to the commission, and hopefully recommendation to render the report to town council. With that, I'd like to open up to any discussion that the commission might have with respect to the annual report.
Just to avoid complete silence, I think it's a very nice document. It's a very nice document.
Yeah,
I'm happy with it.
Thank you, Commissioner Mielke. You know what, this is document over the last several years has been substantially refined and hopefully to be an easier read. You know, it's a lot of information in there, and it's a continuous work in progress. You know, one of the things that kind of catches us every year is we have sometimes the same number in different places, and you miss a place. Fortunately, we have some very keen commissioners that pick up those little details, and we can have an accurate report. But thank you for that comment. It's we believe it's probably one of our finer efforts, but it's a continuous work in progress for sure. But thank you.
Any other comments? Do we have a motion on this item?
I move adoption of the water utility annual report.
Second.
Okay, Commissioner Hurd moves and Commissioner Hollingsworth seconds. All in favor?
Aye.
Closer. Any opposed? It passes.
Thank you very much, Commissioners. And again, I just want to express that the water utility staff like to thank the commission for their detailed review and contributions to ensure the accuracy of this annual report. So thank you very much. And with that, we'll be rendering the report to Mayor and Council.
Thank you. So item number 3, update and discussion on Northwest Recharge Recovery and Delivery System.
Good evening, Chair McMillan. Okay, so this is going to be an update on both the partnered and the independent. I'll start with the partnered portion of the project. Kind of take you through an overview of overview, excuse me, of the location of the Northwest where it starts in the what's known as the Lower Santa Cruz Basin. Here you can see some of the basins. These basins are where the recharge has been occurring over the course of the last 20 years. The partners are drilling three extraction wells and then two monitoring wells in this general location. And then you can see the big picture here where the wells are located and then where the transmission main is going to convey the water to the partnered forebay, where Marana, Metro Water, and Oro Valley will be taking delivery of the CAP water. trying to coordinate that and explaining it.
Do you want me? Thank you.
I'm not very good. My coordination is very good there. So going back, so here at the Northwest Partnered, we have the two committees that we meet regularly, monthly. We have the partnering committee meetings, which are the higher level ones, where the directors, which would be Peter, the director, the manager for Metro Water, and the director for Marana meet, and any decisions that need to be made there are made at those meetings. And then we have a technical meeting during that course of the month, which involves technical issues, you know, as it relates to design, risks, you know, budget, things like that. More directed towards the technical aspect of it, though. And then we also have our program managers that we have for this project is HDR Consultants. Last year, in fiscal year 18-19, we budgeted and spent $400,000. This year, we're on course to spend $1.4 million, and next year, at fiscal year 2021, we're looking at $2.9 to $3 million, and 60% of it is paid out of the impact fees or alternative water, and 40% of is the JP, or GPF. I'm sorry. I was going to say GPM, not gallons per minute. But okay. All right. So fiscal year 18-19, HDR was retained as our management services. So they help us as a whole, help us manage the whole entire project, which includes design, preliminary design, getting us ready for the request for qualifications as we moved into fiscal year 19-20. They assisted with the exploration design of the exploration and specifications of the wells, the hydraulic analysis. We had some major challenges with the Santa Cruz River crossing, the Cal Portland conveyor crossing, I-10 crossing, and the railroad. So all those are where they're helping us, you know, get through those and discuss with those stakeholders as well. So fiscal year 19-20, we've acquired most of the easements. Property purchase, I think we're done with property purchase, which included the properties where the wells are located, as well as the some of the easements are access roads to get to the forebay. Scoping's been completed. We solicited the request for qualifications. And that's also what HDR helped us prepare. And we selected Corolla Westland. They teamed up on this one for the design. So HDR was able to provide up to 30% plans. And Westland Corolla will take it from there, take us to 60, 90, 100% plans. And we're expecting, I think, next FY to be completed with that design. Construction of the two recovery wells is scheduled for next year. Design and transmission forebay is also going to continue into next year as well. Now, this is the independent portion of the project. This it starts there on the lower left of the is where the partners will leave off, and that's where that partnered forebay will be. Basically, two 1 million gallon reservoirs is what's going to be there, and that's where we'll pick up with our booster, and our booster will convey it in general down Lambert Lane to the east and going north on Shannon to Naranja and Shannon intersection where there's that parcel there on the kind of the middle of the screen that shows where that's the ideal location in terms of elevation where we want to place an intermediate booster so that we can boost it from there up to the La Cañada reservoir, and then from there we'll be able to distribute it through the system into our E zone, E and F. Well, from there it can go either E, F, and G. And so,
could you discuss how part of the scope of work is looking at an alternative alignment?
Right. So, from a constructability side of things, we also wanted to look at an alternative alignment that would be less of an impact, not only to from a construction standpoint, but also to the residents and businesses that were along Lambert Lane. So we're actually looking at another alignment that follows a Tucson water main going north on just before Thornydale, and I think it's Old Father, and then from Old Father there's Camino del Norte that goes east from Old Father, and it heads directly to that property on dirt roads. There's no asphalt, so those are some of the things we looked at. In addition, one of the issues on the Lambert Lane is if we had to go outside of pavement, which we most likely would be somewhere between, but within the right-of-way, there's a lot of saguaros, a lot of native plants that we felt that it would be more beneficial to us and probably cost-wise cheaper to take an alignment that was already dirt roads and kind of already established. So we're looking at that as our primary alignment, which doesn't affect the schedule of our independent portion. May even save us a few bucks, too. So here's kind of a breakdown of what where we're at on the independent portion of it. So this year, we beginning in fiscal year 19-20, we put out the solicitation for our request for qualifications. We selected on this one, it was also Wesleyan Carollo. We had actually selected them before the partner selected them, but we only had two submittals, and we selected Wesleyan Carollo as the design team. Wesleyan being the primary on this one, on the partner one, Carollo is the primary, and Carollo on this one is going to be doing mostly hydraulic analysis, and the design fee we negotiated was $1,050,000. So this scope includes the final pipeline alignment, which will basically be 100% design plans from the partnered forebay all the way to our intermediate forebay and tying into Tangerine and to Naranja. Property acquisitions, easement acquisitions if necessary. We're thinking that we may be able to avoid that with this alternative alignment. Of course, hydraulic analysis, and then we're also looking at some blending to help lower those TDSs, those total dissolved solids, in that water that we'll be getting from CAP, which is similar to what we're getting now in our wheeled water from Tucson Water. We're just going to try to see if there's a possibility to lower those TDSs. It also includes material selection, you know, PVC versus ductile iron. We may go with both, and preparing final plans and specifications, so we can submit all of that to ADQ for approval of construction. And then here's a picture of the commission. Picture of the commission there. So this picture is actually there at the Lower Santa Cruz, where we'll be extracting the stored CAP water. Any questions?
Am I correct? You showed the end of the project, Tangerine and Shannon.
Is that what the end of? Yeah. So actually, it's the end of the new design and construction. So here, let me see the pointer. Point to that where the arrow is there from that arrow, that red arrow, and then go up Shannon all the way to Moore Road. So initially, we had looked at actually doing a design all the way from the partner forebay to La Cañada Reservoir on Moore Road and
King Air.
King Air. and why I was on the kind of mile wide road. King Air, but when we looked at it here in the engineering department, we reevaluated that and we said, you know what, we already have existing infrastructure in place that we could probably utilize. So we did. We did a hydraulic analysis internally to see if we could use existing infrastructure to carry that water to La Cañada, and that's going to help us probably take off about a significant chunk of money because of the money we'll save, because we're not going to have to go through that native desert there and avoid going down more road. The design and the construction alone is going to be a huge savings. I mean, that's almost 3 miles of design and construction.
We currently do have infrastructure on Tangerine all the way over to Shannon.
We currently have infrastructure. So we're looking at two 12-inch mains to convey that water from the partnered four bay to La Cañada. And so that will be sufficient capacity in those pipes to carry that water, so that we don't have to build new infrastructure. Does that make sense?
Yeah, further analysis showed that we had excess capacity in our existing infrastructure that we could convey this water to La Cañada Reservoir through our existing infrastructure. Originally, yes, we were going to go up Shannon, Tomorrow Road, up to La Cañada Reservoir, but Lee and his staff did some additional hydraulic analysis and came back and said, you know what, very minor modifications, we can convey this water through our existing system, and it's several million dollars of savings and aggravation with having to go through, you know, some of these areas.
Just to understand, though, we do have existing pipe.
On
Tangerine all the way over to Shannon.
Well, you see this little dogleg coming off here. I think it's 500 or 700 feet short.
Oh, okay. So it is really that close.
It is that close.
Okay, cool.
Yeah, and there's a stub out there.
And everything from Shannon, from Naranja North on Shannon is all undeveloped. There's a lot of work that would have had to have been done there in terms of construction.
And mitigation
for native plants and soils. And there were some archaeological sites as well that we wanted to avoid.
On the partnered section, did we ever resolve the easement issue at the state land department?
Yes. Let me go back. It's kind of hard to see here, but it's no. If you go across the interstate on this lower one, yeah. It's actually closer to the, is that it?
Well, part of it was the recovered water pipeline from the wells themselves to the right-of-way.
Yeah.
But to answer your question, yes, that's been resolved.
They gave us an easement?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
I had to think about that.
Well, there's a condition, and there's a cost per acre foot charge to have that easement, but we came up with solution sets that work out quite well.
Good. I can't remember when we were going to do bonding on this project, or if we already have, but are we going to be able to take advantage of the lower interest rates?
So with respect to the financing, we project that we're going to have enough impact fee money to fund that without borrowing for the growth-related portion. On the existing customer side, the 40%, you know, we've been collecting GPF revenue, but we do not have enough money to pay for all of the existing customer portion. Mary, correct me if I'm wrong, but I think we projected we would need to borrow, was it $10 million in 22, 23? One of the things with a project like this is, and I don't have the exact number for the commission, but I'll be happy to report on it next time, is, you know, when you first start a project like this, your engineer's estimate is, that's a tough one. You know, there's so many unknowns. We had the railroad crossing, the I-10, you know, state land, keeping the Cal-Portland conveyor belt in operation. But so those numbers are pretty conservative. But as we go along and we get more answers, you know, we're able to refine, you know, our cost estimates. And, you know, like I said, right now we're projecting we'll need to borrow $10 million in fiscal year 22-23. But I think my next update, I think, will be more of a financial geared update, because I'd like to show the commission where we started and where we're at and where it looks like we're going. But I would say that things are looking better than what we originally had budgeted, but I don't want to jinx myself.
Just one last quick question. So if we do an alternative route, we'll still have to do environmental clearances on that new route?
Yes, that is correct. And we've already started on that, that alternative alignment, looking at we've started on the environmental and archaeological. We don't have access to this particular property here at this moment, and we're starting discussions with the landowner, probably later this month. We sent a letter of intent. We're planning to send a letter of intent, I should say, this week. And so once we get that, we would and get permission to get onto the property, then we'll start that process on that property. But on the alternative, we have, as well as the design up to that point. So they're moving along.
And another thing I'd like to point out to the commission is one of the things that really helped us with the financing side of this project is we used to have two impact fees, the alternative water impact fee and the potable water development impact fee. And they were two separate buckets of money for very similar but different enough. One was for, you could think of it as bringing alternative water to our service area, and you could think of the other one as moving that alternative water within our service area. And right now we're in the process of adopting new impact fees. And one of the things we looked at is we were only able to use one of those buckets of money for this project. We really got to thinking about it. You know, it made sense 20 years ago, but it didn't make sense anymore, because now it's just getting the water to our service area throughout our service area. And fortunately, our legal team agreed and our financing team agreed, and we were able to combine those two impact fees into one impact fee, and we just call that our water resources system development impact fee fund. And it's because we were going to also have to borrow some money for the growth related portion, but because we can combine those impact fees, it seems like the growth portion of this project will be 100% funded. So you know, that was something that was a real benefit to us. So it cut our future debt, you know, literally in half. But we'll keep you posted. I think the next update, I think, will be more of a financially geared update. Thank you.
Good question, Mike. Has there been modeling, or will there be modeling done of the TDS and the expected plume of TDS into the current system?
Yes, that is correct. We have plans, and part of Carollo's responsibility and the scope of work for the design of this is to look at the TDSs and model those as they get distributed through the system, looking at not only when it goes up to the La Cañada Reservoir, but also directly into the system from the partnered forebay. And that's why you see there's that cloud there, the D-zone connection. There, we're looking at possibly blending the water with D-zone groundwater with the CAP water to help, in a sense, dilute that and reduce and lower the total dissolved solids. So we are looking at that as part of the scope of this work for the design. Mm-hmm.
It reminds me of another question. I think I know the answer since we haven't talked about it, but the partnered section, they're drilling new wells. We haven't seen any sort of unexpected groundwater contaminants in any of those wells so far?
So we're waiting to see what exploratory wells, you know, they took grab samples at several different zones within the depth of that, those exploratory wells. For the constituents that we have to test for, everything looks good. For emerging contaminants, we're waiting to get those results back. I think those were a longer lead time and even had to go to a different lab.
I think we're looking at several months on those ones, and we should probably, we're in March, I want to say maybe close to May, maybe we should have some results. I'm not certain, but those samples have been taken for the emerging contaminants as well.
But when it comes to like the emerging contaminants, like the 1,4-dioxane and the perfluorinated compounds, that I guess those apparently those go to a different lab for analysis, and it takes a longer time.
Measure down to parts per trillion.
We're parts per trillion. That's correct.
Something crazy like that.
Yeah.
Next item is discussion on the annual groundwater metrics and well field condition.
Peter. Thank you, Chair McMillan. So it's that time of year. Typically, about this time of year, we talk about our well field metrics. One of the things we do is part of our annual Arizona Department of Water Resources annual report is every January. When demand is low and we can turn wells off, is we'll systematically turn off our production wells, you know, for 2 or 3 days, give the groundwater a chance to stabilize, and we'll take our groundwater readings, and those readings are reported back to ADWR annually. So January came and went, and we took our readings, and here in this map here, we're showing our town limits, and you can see most of our production wells are kind of along the vein of the CDO wash here. You know, this is really where this is the low point going through Oro Valley, and this is where a lot of the sand and gravels and the alluvial is, and it's the higher production zones of Oro Valley. It's one of the reasons why decades ago, the Oro Valley Country Club put a golf course right there. I mean, that was, water was at that time was probably 120 feet to groundwater, wasn't very far. But this is the map. It shows we have 17 active production wells, what I call in our main well field, and we have 2 production wells at our countryside service area, which is not shown on the map here. And we have 6 nearby non-Oro Valley water utility wells that we get readings from. Additionally, we collect data from 9 monitoring wells. So, through the active wells, the non-active wells, and the monitoring wells, we try to get a good picture of the state of the aquifer. So what are the measurements we take? Well, we take static water level measurements, and that's just where we turn the pump off. And in the well casing, we have a 1-inch, PVC pipe, and we put a probe down there. And when we hit water, it makes continuity with the probe, and you get a tone. And it has numbers on the line, and you can see how many feet it is to the groundwater. And we have a datum at all of our well sites, and we compare that to the previous year measurement. So we take a static water level measurement. We also take a pumping water level measurement. So that's when the well's in operation. You get a cone of depression. So you'll take a measurement at the pumping water level. And the difference between your static water level and your pumping water level, that's your drawdown. The difference between when the pump is off, the level to the aquifer, to when the pump is on. And so here I've just picked, I can't tell which well I picked here, but here I'm showing you for every year we get a static water level measurement, and every year we get a pumping water level measurement. Another thing we look at is we look at the pumping capacity of that well. And what that tells us is when we look at the drawdown and compare it to the pumping capacity, we get what we call a specific capacity. And what that is you take the pumping capacity divided by the drawdown. And for example, say you have a 1,000 GPM well, the pump gives you 1,000 GPM, and you have 100 feet of drawdown between when the well's off to when the well is on. So you take 1,000 gallons a minute divided by 100, you get 10 gallons per foot of drawdown for that well. 1,000 GPM divided by 100 feet of drawdown, as an example. What we do is that's a good number to know because we compare that year to year to year. And what happens is if your specific capacity looks, so for example, someone says, hey, the pump's going bad. It doesn't give us 1,000 GPM anymore. It only gives us 700 GPM. Well, is that true? Wait a minute. What you might find is the pumping water level has gone down more. And then there's all sorts of questions why. And one of the things you might find is in a well casing, the screen can get clogged. And you'll have a reduced specific capacity. Drawdown goes down. So we take all these different measurements to kind of give us a picture of how's the well doing, how's the pump doing, how's the aquifer doing. And these are just measurements we take every year, static water level, pumping water level, look at pumping capacity. Then we calculate things like specific capacity and those sorts of things. So how do we look here? Well field analysis, comparisons, and conclusions. Now, let me see here. What's very interesting is in year 1617, which would be a column over here, it was a very dry year. We got very poor fall, winter, and spring hydrology. I don't think we had any snow in the mountains. It was a very warm winter. And we saw, 3, 4, 5 foot plus drawdown in the aquifer across the board. None of the wells showed recovery. Every well was in the red, which was to be expected because we had such a dry winter. But then we had this wonderful fall, winter, and spring 1718. And again, we saw a lot of these negative one changes as the aquifer was dropping. And I had made a prediction. I said, you know what? It takes time for that water to get to the aquifer, but I don't know how much time that takes. Stay tuned for next year. So here we are at next year. And here's our well designations here. So what we collect the annual volume pumped in acre feet, and then we look at the pumping capacity in GPM, and then we look at our static water level, and we take differences. We calculate the difference in the annual volumes pumped, the differences between the annual pumping capacity and differences in the annual static water levels. So between January of 2019 and January 2020, here's where we stand. So for example, you can look at C4. In calendar year 2018, we pumped 85 acre feet. And then in calendar year 2019, we pumped 75 acre feet, 10 acre feet less. And that should make sense for a majority of the wells because we wheeled more CAP water than any other year. Well, I think the improved hydrology in conjunction with the reduced demand on the well resulted in that well coming up 0.8 of a foot. So what I did here is the rows that are in green indicate reduced pumping capacity from that well. So that was a good thing. And the ones in red are the wells where we had increased pumping capacity. Likewise, with the 1 year changed, the ones in green indicate that's the areas where the aquifer has come up, and in red it indicates areas where the aquifer has gone down. And then down here, this represents countryside. So countryside really saw a tremendous benefit to the improved hydrology. In CS1, the aquifer came up a little over 1.5 feet. In CS2, it came up 3 feet. And there was no additional wheeling to countryside. We wheel approximately 100 acre feet a year there. But I think this is just a direct result of the aquifer in that area responding to the improved hydrology. Here, you know, I look at, you know, some of the things I don't like is, you know, I don't like this negative 4.4 on D9, is it here? Yeah, D9. While at the same time we had reduced pumping capacity from that well. So that merits some study, you know. Now when I see things like well E2, where we pumped it almost 120 acre feet more than last year, well, that makes sense that, you know, that I see a drawdown. Now, should I see that much? Well, I don't know. This merits further study. Overall, in the history of the water utility, this is actually the best year-to-year comparison we've ever seen. We have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. We have 8 wells that show aquifer improvement out of 19 wells. So not quite 50% of our wells, the aquifer shows improvement. So one of the things that the conclusions I draw is, and I didn't show the 1 year change in GPM because it was negligible. Year to year, we've our O&M and our capital reinvestment program is showing that we've gone after the troubled pumps that were giving us problems. But I just showed this 1 year change is zero because some were up a couple of GPM, some were down. It wasn't anything that had merit to even discuss. So conclusions, well field production exceeds what's required from our potable demand. We can pump about 8,500 acre feet just from our wells, and that exceeds our demand if we were to be solely reliant on groundwater. If we say we lost the AP wheeling for any reason, we have a reduction in the number of wells with aquifer declines. One of the things we need to do, and we budgeted money for next fiscal year, we budgeted, I think it was $100,000, to perform an updated aquifer study. The last study we did was in 2007, and it had indicated that a sustainable pumping water level was approximately 5,500 acre feet. You know, well, here we are at, in rough numbers, you know, 4,200 acre feet, yet we still see some declines. We have, you know, 13 years of additional data, very, very reliable data. So we think it's time to perform another study to try and get an idea of what's happening with some of these other wells. One of the things that's very important, we've also budgeted money in our capital program for this, is investing and update the production facilities instrumentation, and that's well level sensors and flow meters. One of the things is when we're re-equipping wells now, we're putting level sensors in them, and it's connected to our supervisory control and data acquisition, our SCADA system. One of the things I think is important is in real time, we need, it would be nice to be able to, let's just say, for example, this minus, if that's a 6.8 on E2, maybe that was avoidable. Maybe if we had telemetry on this well, we have flow meter data, and if we had pumping water level data, if we could see that pumping water level going down, maybe operationally we can back off on that well and run another one a little harder that's showing improvement. You know, I'm looking, you know, balancing the system. So that's a conclusion I get out of this, is the technology exists. Let's invest in some additional instrumentation to help us manage our utilization of our groundwater. And then, of course, continue the annual well, field, and aquifer monitoring. So that's, with that, any discussion on this table and what the commission sees, or if there's anything they don't understand? Commissioner Mielke.
In terms of updating the 2007 study, as I recall, that study target number was not designed to have a zero level decline. It was designed to have a decline in the wells that was small enough to guarantee pumping capacity over a certain period of time. And you might consider changing the parameters for that study slightly to have them look at what they think would be acceptable for a zero-level decline average plus something, maybe something that would say we need to, something that would give us 100 years of pumping capacity out of the well field or something like that. Because that what was it, 5,500 acre feet roughly, there's always been a number that's been slightly in question about what it means.
Commissioner Milk, I couldn't agree with you more. In the 2000 study, I to me, if you have the word sustainable, that means in perpetual to me. They gave a definition of what sustainable meant with respect to the report, but I think it leads to questions that don't need to be asked. I think my definition of sustainable is how can we get all of these boxes to be green, and it is that achievable? Because another thing we need to look at is there's a lot of people pumping from this aquifer other than us. We have over 250 private wells that are permitted to withdraw up to 35 gallons a minute. We have Oral Valley Country Club. They withdraw between 400 and 500 acre feet a year. We need to holistically look at all of these things. We may decide that Oral Valley all by ourselves, maybe we can't get there. Maybe we have to reach out to the other users. You know, I don't know the answers to those questions yet. But I would like that report to look at, you know, what does it look like? How much can the aquifer really support? And then also say, here's our big plan. Once NWRDS gets online, here's what we'll be reducing our groundwater production to. What can we expect with respect to groundwater declines? And that might make us ask some really interesting questions, like do we need to consider recharging our own aquifer?
To me, the interpretation of sustainable would be zeros in that column.
Mm-hmm. I won't disagree with you.
Multi-year average. But over the years, we've argued a lot about what that means and what that number means to the town. And you're certainly right about the other water users in our aquifer.
And I think it's reasonable to look at multi-year averages, because I think when we have those dry years, we can expect declines. But when we have a couple of years of good hydrology, we should recover from those. Yeah. Great comment. Thank you. Commissioner Hurt.
Peter, you mentioned six non-Oral Valley wells, but you just also talked about a lot more private wells. The six non-Oral Valley wells,
for example, Metro Water has wells in the town of Oral Valley. There's other larger production municipal wells.
Right. Are any of those wells either the six that we're talking about now, or the private wells, is there a proximity issue that could be affecting some of these wells? Some of the wells, particularly the ones that have a higher negative number?
Commissioner Hurd, there certainly can, and that's where it merits the additional study. In some of the wells where we have the larger declines, there are private wells in that area. We even have our own municipal wells in that area that could be affecting it. Here again, now that we've got a lot of really high-quality data, we're really showing a strong trend of reducing our groundwater production. So I think it's time for another comprehensive study.
Okay. And finally, given the snowmass that we had this last winter, do you expect the things to start turning more greenish?
This is what's interesting is, you know, and I don't know the answer to this question, is did all of that water from the improved hydrology are we seeing all of it, or is it still getting there? So next year we can expect, all my indications are, we can expect to see similar groundwater pumping that we did to this year. We're not going to wheel any additional water. Our gallons per capita per day continues to decline. So even with the growth, because of the reduced GPCD, even with growth, I expect to see our production about the same. We've had a very similar, so far, hydrological year as we did last year. That might tell us something, you know, but I don't know yet. But it, yeah, like I said last year, stay tuned. Yeah, but this is with this kind of data, we're definitely heading in the right direction. I think through additional CAP deliveries in the future and improved groundwater pumping operational management, I'll say, I think we can get some of these numbers to be improved. One of the concerns is as you dewater the aquifer, you know, that water took up what we call pore space. You know, those sand and gravels had spaces between them that was filled with water. And when you dewater an aquifer, if those pore spaces reorganize themselves and compact, and that could lead to subsidence, yeah, once you lose that pore space, you can't fill it up again. Fortunately, knock on wood, around here, we haven't seen any signs of subsidence that I'm aware of. And by the fact that when we do get improved hydrology and reduced pumping, we do see the aquifer recovering. So, you know, has there been damage? I don't know. But all the indicators are that the aquifer seems willing to accept recovery. Thank you. Oh, wait, let me see. Am I even done yet? Hold on. We got more. Oh, there we go. Discussion. Any questions? Thank you.
Peter. So, item number 5, discussion and possible action regarding a Water Utility Commission field trip. Who doesn't like a field trip?
So, okay. So, the commission so far has seen... we've gone to Tucson Water's Central Avra Valley Storage and Recovery Project, the CAFSAR project, and that was what we call a USF, an underground storage facility. Last year, the commission saw the NWRRDS USF and pipeline alignment, and we talked about the NWRRDS. This year, I'd like to take the commission to see what we call a groundwater savings facility, a GSF. And my next slide, we'll talk about that a little bit. So I'd like to take the commission on a tour of the Kai Farms groundwater savings facility. This is a facility where we typically have 4,000 acre feet of our CAP delivered to. And we have over 13,000 acre feet of water saved there. So a little less history, a little lesson here. What is a GSF? A GSF is one way of preserving groundwater for future use, and a GSF is considered indirect recharge or in lieu of recharge. So looking at the next slide here, a GSF is, for example, in the case of Kai Farms, the CAP canal goes right through the middle of their farm, and what they do is they pull water out of the canal and they use it to irrigate crops in lieu of groundwater. So we send a portion of our CAP allocation, 4,000 acre feet last year. I'm sending another 4,000 acre feet this year. And in return, we have a legal right to an equal amount of their groundwater should we need it. One of the things with groundwater storage facilities is you pay an evaporation loss and you give a 5% cut to the aquifer. These are just ADWR compliance things. But with the GSF, we just pay the 5% cut to the aquifer. Now, let's say there's curtailments in CAP deliveries to the highest priority users, like municipalities. What we could then do is Kai Farms, they have groundwater pumps. They're currently inactive. But we could utilize those pumps, pump groundwater back into the canal, have that water delivered to a USF that we have a permit to send water to, and get our water that way. So here again, in lieu of groundwater agriculture or Kai Farms in this case, they take the CAP water, irrigate crops, and we get an equal amount of groundwater of that groundwater should we need it. Here's why this works so well, is because the Groundwater Management Act requires us to replace the groundwater we pump, even though we don't have to replace it right where we pumped it, as long as we're anywhere within the Tucson Active Management Area, and Kai Farms is in the Tucson Active Management Area. I use, as a credit, I use some of the water that, so say I sent 4,000 acre feet to Kai Farms, and after the 5% cut to the aquifer, whatever the math is, 3,000 whatever acre feet of their groundwater is ours, I use a portion of that to pay back the Tucson Active Management Aquifer. So that's why for as many years as we've been saving water there, we quote-unquote would only have 13,000 acre feet, because if you do the math, if I've been sending 4,000 acre feet a year for 10 years, we should have 40,000 acre feet. But we're using some of the water we save there as a credit to replace the groundwater we pump here. So it's not like in the end we're dewatering their aquifer. But, I mean, we have a right to that 13,000 acre feet. But so we want to go see a GSF. We'll go to Kai Farms, get a tour of their facility, where the turnouts are, how they take the water, where we would recover the water. So kind of give the commission a chance to see a more complete picture of how we save and store water. Now, at the underground storage facility, this is what we saw at Tucson Water's CAFSART facility. It's a direct recharge. We send the water from the canal to recharge basins, and we physically create this water mound, and that's what we call an underground storage versus groundwater savings facilities. So the commission, most of the commission members said they've seen a USF, and now we're going to go see a GSF. So that would be the our tour. And here again, I'm showing, here's I-10, here's Picacho Peak. Kai Farms is right here. And judging from the name of the road, I think these are pecan farms. And the CAP canal goes right, it goes right through the middle. I can't tell if it's there or there, but the CAP canal goes right through the middle of their farm. And here it goes to a pump station here. So we'll get to see the CAP canal and see their operation. I had talked to Herb Kai. We had picked three dates that worked for him. I would like to see if these dates work for the commission. These are all Fridays for Mr. Kai. April 10th, 17th, or 24th worked for him. And the proposed schedule would be to report at town hall at 8:15, leave here by 8:30. Should take us 45 minutes to get to Kai Farms, you know, tour the farm for, you know, 75 minutes, return to town hall, have a real quick special session, discuss the tour, and then have some good Q&A or additional discussion, and then have some lunch. So I guess I'd like to tap the commission to see if we can agree on a date so we could lock up a tour. And first of all, does this sound like something the commission would be interested in seeing? Okay. Great. I don't know how we want to.
Is everyone here have a calendar and prepared to make a decision, or do we need to?
You know, yeah, we could always email, or if we're not prepared to.
Any preferences either way?
The only date I'm available is the 10th.
Unless they close all the contracts. 10th work for
10th, but I might be able to clear it. If not, go ahead and schedule it.
Well, I mean, Commissioner Mielke, just for the sake of conversation, does the 9th work? Or are there several days around the 10th that are no good?
No, it's just the morning of the 10th. The 9th would work. The 17th or the 24th would work.
Commissioner Hollingsworth, I don't know if it works for Mr. Kai. Would the 9th work for you, or is it?
Yeah, the 9th would work for me.
I might be able to reschedule what I have on the 10th.
Okay, I mean, because I...
Anyway, if you decide to go there, I just can't commit to it right now.
Okay, because I mean, as much as possible, we want to try to accommodate all of our commissioners. Commissioner Merrick, does the 9th work for you? I know you're... Chair McMillan... Commissioner Mielke, if you could get back with Danielle about the 10th, and if that works great, we'll do it the 10th. And if it doesn't work, let me talk to Mr. Kai and see if we can make the 9th work. Danielle, is there any reason why we can't do the 9th that you know of? Oh, yeah, the conference rooms. Let me look at my calendar real quick. April. It seems so far away, doesn't it? Yeah, I'm wide open. I'm wide open on April 2. Okay. We'll see about the 10th, and if not, let's do the 9th, if it works out. Okay.
It'll take me a couple of days, but I'll get back to you as fast as I can.
Okay, thank you.
And Peter, I think we talked about the possibility of this being...
Oh.
Substitute for
yes, so the field trip would be in lieu of our regular April meeting. Is that okay with the commission? Okay, thank you. Thanks for the clarification.
Is this something we need to take a vote on, or we
get? I guess so. We can make a recommendation on the 10th or the 9th. I guess the 10th, if Commissioner Mielke can make it, if not the 9th. Will you get a motion on canceling the meeting or on the tour date?
On both.
Okay. Well, I mean, why don't we make a motion on having this be in lieu of the commission?
We have a motion on that.
So will we, in lieu of the April meeting, we conduct the Warren Commission field trip to Kai Farms?
Second.
Okay. Do we need to do a motion on the date, or is that okay? No motion necessary on the date. Thank you.
So we will just expect an email from you telling us what date works best, 9th or 10th. Okay. Thank you. Okay. Town Council meeting communications. Council member Pina.
Thank you. Hello. Okay. Thank you, Chairman. Okay, so the first item that I have is Council unanimously passed the resolution for intent to notice the increase for the potable water rates and the decrease of the reclaimed rates and the decrease for the reclaimed groundwater preservation fees. The second item is the coronavirus, which everybody I think has heard of. The state, regional, and local governments are doing everything they can to prepare for an event should they need to. In the meantime, Oral Valley has placed a link on the town's website, which takes an individual directly to the Pima County website for any information regarding the coronavirus. And in the meantime, it's just recommended that everybody use precautions, washing hands, making sure if you're sick, stay home, et cetera, et cetera. But Oral Valley is positioned to be prepared for the coronavirus should it continue to be worse. The other item is the Oral Valley Marketplace, as we know it, that has a pre-submittal meeting coming up tomorrow. The owners of the property are calling it the Oral Valley Village Center. That will be a neighborhood meeting, which will be from 6 to 8 here in the chambers. And I would encourage, if you can make that meeting, it's a great opportunity to learn what that concept plan looks like that they put together for the Oral Valley Marketplace. And then the other item that has come up is the Safeway Shopping Center, the construction for the ingress egress from the shopping center out onto Tangerine. The construction started February 19th, and that is scheduled to be completed late March. So that project has been long coming. It's been a safety issue, and that now will be hopefully rectified once that's completed. And so that completes my report for this evening. So thank you.
Thank you. I talked to Peter earlier today, and I was able to attend the town council meeting last week. Really talked about the recommendation for moving ahead on public notice of the water rate changes. And I wanted to give you all a short report on the meeting and what I heard and what happened. So I thought it was a little bit important just to make the council aware of what was said and some of the questions that came up. And Peter and Councilor Pena, correct me if I misspeak on any of this. One of the questions that came up was to Peter during the meeting was, why is there a need to raise water rates if we're doing a good job at improving and promoting water conservation? Peter went on to explain after that question that despite our efforts to conserve water, certain water utility costs continue to rise, such as cap fees, chemical equipment and material costs, and other costs that the utility really has no control over. And Peter further explained that our conservation efforts actually were benefiting the town residents financially, and that our conservation slows down the need for further expansion of the water utility. So I thought that was a good response to that question. The second question that came up involved why reclaimed water rates were decreasing when private resident fees were increasing. And it was further asked if that was being done intentionally to benefit Oro Valley Golf operations. I thought that was a very interesting question. So Peter explained that the utility decided last year to perform a study to evaluate more precisely the actual fees each water user pays and what they should pay to be fair to each user type. And the evaluation showed that reclaimed water users were overpaying relative to the costs that the utility incurred to deliver the water to them, and so that they actually deserved and merited a decrease in their fees because of that. Peter also made the point that, in fact, historically, reclaimed water users had been somewhat overpaying relative to what they should have been, and in effect subsidizing users like single family residential. So the end discussion was, in fact, that the proposed change had nothing to do with favoring golf operations, but simply making our fees more equitable to what people were using. And further on in the discussion, one of the questions also implied from one of the council members that the water utility was proposing a tax increase. Luckily, another council member spoke up pretty much immediately on that issue and clarified that the utility was an enterprise fund that operates exclusively from fees collected and not on any taxes received. The utility only charges fees that are necessary to operate the utility and nothing more. So I thought that was a good clarification. So I wanted to bring this up. I wanted to say thank you to both Peter and Councilmember Pena for doing a really good job during the meeting. They explained the complexity of operating a public water utility in Arizona. And then Councilmember Pena also was able to prompt Peter to discuss how the utility's proposed rate increase was actually a much less was actually quite a bit of a reduction on the rate increase that was expected to be needed this year because we had had much better hydrology and our associated lower cap water costs. So I just want to say thank you for doing a good job, and we're really fortunate to have a council liaison who really understands the water utility and is able to ask those questions. So good job there. So the council voted to move forward with the rate increase public notice, and I would like to say that Mayor Winfield publicly thanked the commission for our work, and that was good to hear. And the whole reason I brought this up was I just thought it was important to report to the commission because a lot of times when you're really close to a situation like we are with water utility operation, sometimes it's not easy to see how other people see things differently from a different perspective. And so that I think this is a good example of what's very important for us to remain diligent, to get the facts out about the water utility and how we're doing and how we're doing things, making decisions, especially things like rate increases. So overall, it was a really positive and good meeting of the town council, but some questions did come up and comments that we probably wouldn't anticipate for the most part, but it's people seeing it from a different perspective, so we need to be aware of those things as a commission. That's all I wanted to say.
I'd just like to thank you for that update. I think it is important, and I think I'd like to use the same opportunity to, I need this thing, to encourage all of us to attend the public hearing, because it's important for us who represent the public to hear what the public says in that hearing, some of which will be worth our consideration and some of which is likely to be nonsense. But it's important for us to know.
Okay, thank you. Do we have any subcommittee reports on the finance subcommittee? Also have no report on Water Resources and Conservation Subcommittee. So we will move on to the Director's Report.
Thank you, Chair McMillan. Just some water utility news, some notable administrative work in progress. You know, this came about when I was working on PowerPoints this week. I had made a fingers crossed promise to Danielle that we'd get her our PowerPoints a week before the commission meeting, and this was probably about Thursday afternoon when I realized I hadn't given her anything yet and was wondering how that happened. And I thought maybe the commission should know some of the things that are going on. So right now the water utility, some notable administrative work is we're in the process of going through the impact fee review process. We're having to answer a lot of questions from stakeholders and council. So also we're working on the water rates. We did that, and now that we have a notice of intent, the questions start coming in, and we're responding to those questions. And well, like Chair McMillan said, we're so close to this, and we know this works so well. It is nice to, I do like getting the questions, even the tough ones, because it's about perspective. And I think to myself, you know, I didn't think of it that way, but I want to answer that question. So I like getting those questions as well. We're currently in the middle of our budget work, and we're working on our ADWR annual report that's due March 31st. So there's a lot going on in the water utility, and Danielle, I'll do better in May. Oh, okay, guess what slides next? Well, you know, I don't know if I'll ever get it this good again. So some water news, Upper Colorado Basin snowpack comparisons. So this dark red here is the median. And what this represents is, you know, what's the snow like in the upper basin states? And here's the median. And this is typically correlates to how much runoff we get and eventually how much water gets released to Lake Mead. And eventually, are there going to be any curtailments, and if so, how much? And this was, this yellow line, this was that water year 2018 I was mentioning it earlier. I mean, just, it wasn't just an Arizona thing. It was, you know, upper and lower basin states, just real, real dry, a lot less snowpack. Just, it wasn't much of a winter for anybody. But then in water year 19, last year, I mean, just what a banner year for us. I mean, just, and that's one of the reasons why the rates, you know, were able to be lower than we thought, is this kind of hydrology here. It pushes off the need for CAP to increase the capital charge to the remaining users, those higher priority users that don't see curtailments in their deliveries. And here we are trending in water year 2020, you know, we're well above the median. Let's keep our fingers crossed that we keep, you know, we keep doing that. These are all great things for the upper and lower basin states. So we're having another good year so far. Some upcoming meetings, March 18th, Town Council regular session, Council Chambers. Again, April 1st, Town Council regular session, Council Chambers. And then either April 9th or April 10th, we'll have our Water Utility Commission field trip, and we'll meet at Town Hall at 8:15. Stay tuned for more information on that. And then again, April 15th, Town Council regular session, May 6th, Town Council regular session, Council Chambers at 6 p.m. And then we'll have our next Water Utility Commission meeting, May 11th. And I believe that'll also be in Council Chambers. I don't think the Hopi Room will be available at that time, but if it is, we'll let you know. And that concludes my report. Thank you. Commissioner Mielke.
What's the date for the public hearing on the water rates?
June 3rd.
Thank you, Peter. We have no speakers. So do we have any future agenda items? Future agenda items. Do I have a motion on adjournment?
So moved.
Second.
We have a motion and a second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed?